Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Koslovich. Hello there, Chris Vandercook.
Good morning, Beth Ann. Guess we're in the holiday season unavoidably from here on out. Huh?
From here on out we are. That would be true, although a lot of people would say that's been happening since July. But that's a whole other issue. We are in the season where things are beginning to happen. Certainly we're seeing the inauguration of a new governor today.
That's right.
And we're entering a new era in a lot of ways. And that could be true for Kauai as well, as it looks to whether or not you will have a dairy industry. Now, last week, your mind was probably on completing your plan for Thanksgiving. At the same time, Ulupono Initiative's plan for its Kauai dairy farm got its building permit and got a little closer to reality. And perhaps so have its supporters and opponents. You might remember that earlier this year, we talked with retired attorney Bridget Hammerquist about the concerns of her group, Friends of Mahulepu. She says some of their original issues have found answers just in time for new questions about the dairy's operation to surface. She joins us now by phone from Koloa. Good morning.
Good morning.
When we talked last time, you had a whole shopping list of questions and concerns. Have those been answered sufficiently?
No, but I'm hopeful that with the environmental impact study that's due to happen, they will be addressed in a way that is more thorough than has been thus far.
Hawaii Dairy Farm says it's going to do an EIS that might not be required, but that they feel that it's important to do. Was that a step in the direction of goodwill as far as your group was concerned?
Well, we think there were actually a lot of pressures underplaying their decision, Beth Ann. I don't know if you were aware, but there's been water quality testing in there for 7 months. It's 8 months, started with the Blue Water Task Force Division of Surfrider Kauai Chapter in an effort to gather a baseline of information before all the cows were brought in, if that was to be, so that we would have some basis to know when a discharge was happening and when pollution was happening. In the course of gathering the water test results after the dairy began groving and grading, was evident early on that there was some very major pollution problems. So samples were sent to DOH on Oahu, and the Clean Water Branch was given the readings. They ultimately did their own testing and confirmed the readings. And some of the response by the dairy was that they felt feral animals in the area were contributing to the contamination of the fresh water in the valley. But that didn't explain the turbidity, and I think their grubbing and grading was probably the most responsible for the turbidity, and the fresh waters of the Waiopili are still contaminated. They still have elevations of bacteria, nutrient, and turbidity that way exceeds state standards.
So what has the farm said to you when you've talked to them about this?
Well, they really weren't very responsive about it. They did their own testing. There was an issue with the lab that they used, got different results, but State of Hawaii Department of Health and Surfrider results were run through different labs, and their results were comparable, within 1% of each other. So it didn't really square too well. I think, you know, the overall bottom line is that the environment there needs to be protected. People here aren't opposed to the idea of a dairy operation. It's an agricultural industry, and actually a lot of this island is pro-ag. It's just the location that's the problem. I don't know if you happen to see the front page of the Garden Island today, but it has a really nice article about a very valuable part of that valley, and that is the Makawahi Cave Preserve. And it's entitled Kauai's Clear View into the Past, and that's really what the Makawahi Cave Preserve offers. There's a huge 30-foot-deep sinkhole, and they've actually been able to go back and identify plants and human remains hundreds and hundreds of years before in time. And they've been studying, they have gourds that are 600 and 700 years old that the mud's preserved, and they have a big native plant restoration effort that's been underway in there for 20-some years. And this is all part of that valley within, you know, hundreds of yards of the place where there's to be volumes of waste produced by a large number of cows.
The dairy has certainly done surveying of the area and knows that it's there. Have they specifically given you any assurances that it will be protected?
No. It's a difficult situation because it's very difficult to contain urine and manure. I mean, it's going to be produced in the volume of 3 million pounds of wet manure and 210,000 gallons of urine monthly, every month, month in, month out. You know, and in 6 months' time, you're over 1 billion pounds of manure. That's a lot of manure, and it doesn't go away. It isn't absorbed readily in any case, and you need land that perks. And since you and I spoke, the Natural Resource Conservation Service Office, a federal agency, a division of the USDA, conducted what they referred to as a custom soil resource study, a conservation study of the area, and they found much of the farm site was very limited in its ability to handle a land application of animal waste. The NRCS report was dated June 5th of 2014. The dairy did not reveal it to the state. They did not make it public. But fortunately, the federal agency had posted it on the World Wide Web, and an engineer by the name of Mark Madison with CH2M Hill found the study on the website and brought it to light the end of August. So when I say pressures have been brought to bear, I think this is part of it as well, because the NRCS study was really clear and concluded that the soils at Mahalapu, and I'm quoting, are very limited for land application of animal waste.
At this point, Bridget, as now this information has come to light, has been for the past several months, and the Hawaii Dairy Farm says it's going to do an EIS, and all of these pressures that the EIS will have to feel and questions answered. Do you feel that there's a better dialogue happening now between you and those of you on Kauai who have been questioning whether this dairy should be there and the dairy itself?
I think that we have an opportunity to have that, yes, and we're really, really looking forward to that.
All right,
because I think up until now, the dairy has sort of had a fixed focus, and we're doing it, and here's how it's going to be, and it's going to go down. And it'd be like putting a 699-cow dairy in the middle of, you know, Yellowstone or the park that's in California. The name escapes me right now, where Half Moon or Half Dome is. That, you know, there are so many. There's a heiau in there. There's native plants that Hawaiians still use for medicine. There's native Hawaiian fishing for sustenance every day. There are still local residents on this island that go into Mahalapu, and whether it's the fishing or the opihi gathering, the collection along the reefs that they do, it's just a pretty wonderful area.
But at least at this point, it sounds, Bridget, like there's the hope that there will be much better and cleaner communication between the dairy and those of you who have been questioning since the very beginning when the plan was revealed. And that seems to be a more hopeful note, all of it, from what you've said now, than what we were hearing from you beforehand.
I think that's very true.
All right. We're going to leave it on that good note, and we'll check in with you again. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having us on.
Bridget Hammerquist is a retired attorney and a resident of Koloa. She is part of Friends of Mahalapu, a group of concerned citizens responding to the proposed Hawaii dairy farms.